preaching, teaching, and hearing your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. Thank you now that we can hear and benefit from your preached word. In Jesus' name we praise you and thank you. Amen. We're going to start another series here on the book of Joshua in chapter 3. And we're going to start out preaching just out of one sentence, one verse, in which in that one verse you will learn everything that happens, exactly how it happens, to get you from a reasonably rational, reasonably well-adjusted individual to the blob of putty that you ultimately become on a daily basis when you don't know what's happening to you or why. You'll also find that in this one verse, there'll be more knowledge and more wisdom than all of medical science has been able to come up with. Medical science is kind of it's a good deal for those people, you know that? The minute they can't figure something out, and that happens a lot, their answer is, you're crazy. They go to school for a long time just to tell you what I could have told you free without any difficulty whatsoever. No, you're not crazy. See, the reality is you don't know what's wrong with you, and neither do they. Now, about the only thing that we can all agree on is something wrong, but they don't know what it is. So then they say the thing that's wrong is that you're crazy. Well, then the next question is, well, why don't you do something about the fact that I'm crazy? Well, they say, well, no, we can't. The fact that you're crazy means nothing can be done, which all boiled down means they don't know. And they have no way of knowing. So they have this catch-all phrase in which all of the blame ultimately is yours. It sounds pretty much like being at home, except at home they didn't charge you so much to tell you that. Joshua 3:10. In fact, I'll read starting with verse 9. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. The first thing you see there is Joshua being very honest and saying, come and hear the words of the Lord your God. God's going to speak to you. Now, you probably already know that God is not going to speak to them audibly, to them individually. He did and he does to Joshua. But he tells the people, come and hear God. Verse 10, and Joshua said. Now, does Joshua think he's God? No. Joshua knows that he's speaking for God. And how does he know that? Because he's repeating what God told him. Now, how do I know that I'm speaking for God? Because I'm repeating what's written in this book. Very simple. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. Now forever you will know if God is with you and God is leading you. Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the following. Now notice, drive out from before you. Now whatever is before you is leading you. Whatever is before you, you are succeeding or you are following. So you see, whether you follow me or whatever, it doesn't really matter. You're following something or somebody. So he says, now the Lord will without fail drive out from before you, will drive out those that are leading you. And then he tells you who they are, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. And I thought, wow, that's great. God's going to drive out Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. What in the hell are those? And how's that going to help us here in El Cajon? I know what El Cajonites are. And I even know what Santiites are. And Lakesideites and Helixites and Italianites. Mexicanites and Frenchites and Germanites and even Perizzites. But what are Canaanites? And how's that going to help us here? And Hittites and Hivites and Perizzites. Well, you're going to find out this is the way that your depression starts, that leads you to the point that you are wildly led by emotions, to the point that the only way you can settle yourself down is with chemicals, because chemicals is the way that you excited yourself. But it starts out spiritually, and it always starts with Canaanites, and it always ends with Jebusites. And there's always Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Gergesites, and Amorites in between the whole mess, leading you from the Canaanites to the Jebusites. Now, in all that sentence right there is all the knowledge that you need to know to be forever well-adjusted mentally and psychologically. And it only took 5 minutes. So now we can go home. Except you don't have a clue in this world what all this means. Well, that tells about what's leading you, and now he tells you in verse 11 what ought to be leading you. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you unto Jordan. So clearly the problem is that before you are Canaanites, Hivites, Hittites, and all the otherites, when what ought to be before you, what ought to be leading you is the ark of the covenant, the Bible, in other words. And some will say, well, the Bible does lead me. No, sir. See, Bible don't got no legs. Bible don't got no mouth. So, and Bible don't got no ears. So how can Bible listen to your questions, answer your questions, and then show you by going ahead of you whether it's right or wrong? Because Bible don't got no legs, no ears, and no mouth. We solve that problem in verse 12. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. Out of every tribe of Israel, one man to represent each tribe. And those 12 men are going to carry the ark ahead of you. In other words, they're going to lead you. The ark leads them. The ark's in front of them. They're carrying the ark. And then behind goes you. So the Bible leads me, behind comes you. Also, I happen to be one of the 12 of the tribes because I happen to be of the tribe of Reuben, whether you knew that or not. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark. Now understand, remember we studied about whoever your feet. He says, well, first, your feet better tread where the priest's feet tread. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that came down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. In other words, he said, it's going to dry up your problems. It's going to clear out the obstacles. In other words, what it says, the Ark of the Covenant, the member of the tribe of Israel, one of the tribes of Israel that carries the Ark, goes before you, stands right on the edge of the obstacle, which was the Jordan. During that time, it was at flood stage because that's harvest time. That's the most water that the Jordan ever carries during the year. And he said, as soon as the priest's foot steps on the bank, the waters are going to start backing up and piling up. And then the priest is going to stand there in the middle while you walk across on dry ground. I don't know how that could be any clearer. And it came to pass, verse 14, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, just touch their toes in it, for Jordan overflowed all this banks all the time of harvest. It was harvest time. It was high tide time. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city, Adam, and that and is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Not so much as mud on the little toesies. It was dry ground. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground and all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now it ought to be clear to you that if you are following the priests that bear the ark, that you're going to walk the same ground that they do. Now, if you're having difficulties and problems that I'm not, then clearly you're not following. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily you should always follow me. You should always be very careful where I'm at. And if you see that I'm not in a good spot, and then that instance, don't follow. And if you know of such a situation, let me know. But you see, the difficulty that I see is 99 9/10% of the time, in fact, 100% of the time, that I'm talking with people about their difficulties, it's a difficulty that I don't have. I did have it, and I have had it, and I may have it again, but I don't have it then. So what is clearly the problem? You're not following. Well, if you're not following the priest, then what are you, or who are you following? Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. There's only two choices. Clearly in all that, there is no choice to follow no one. Clearly, there's no such thing as being independent. You either have before you Canaanites, which God says, I want to drive them out, or you have the Ark of the Covenant, the priests, represented by the one representative of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, of all the 12 tribes of Israel, every one of the tribes had a hand in writing part of this book. Every one of them had a hand in carrying this book. When Moses started, when he wrote the first five books, they all carried it with them into the promised land, and then they passed it on to the rest of the world. So clearly those 12 tribes have carried the Ark of the Covenant. Now it's my job to function in that fashion and carry the Ark ahead of me. Let it lead me. And then whatever I presume to tell you that you should have victory over, I ought to get it first. Again, if you know of any place where that's not the case, please let me know, and we'll work on it. In the meantime, be man enough or woman enough to admit that you're walking on ground that I'm not walking on. And you see, for you to say that it's somehow God's fault, or that somehow he requires that you have some amazing knowledge that you do not possess, when in reality, all you have to do is be able to recognize me, what I'm doing, and decide whether that's the way you want to live or not. Very simple. Since that isn't the case in so many cases, let's find out who you are following. How is it that you make these resolutions and you have these really great intentions of turning over a new leaf and starting over again? And I know that you're sincere, and I know that you mean it. The problem is you're expecting Canaanites and Hittites and all the rest of those ites to lead you the right way, and they never do. Now your trouble starts always with Canaanites. Canaanites come in two packages. Those that receive Canaanites and those that become Canaanites and go out as Canaanites. If you receive a Canaanite, you'll become one. If you go out as a Canaanite and someone receives you as a Canaanite, they'll become a Canaanite and a Hittite and so on down the way until you end up Jebusites. So always be on the lookout for a Canaanite. They're the first ones. Canaanite means a merchant, a trafficker, a peddler. A humiliated merchant, trafficker, or peddler. A trafficker or peddler or merchant who brings themselves down low. Low self-esteem. Always complaining, never happy with anything. always looking for sympathy. Now, whenever you are in that kind of mood, you are begging for a Canaanite to come and tell you how bad their life is, because you are feeling that your life is bad. You're unhappy with your circumstances, so you are calling to another Canaanite, and they'll always come and tell you how badly they feel. As a matter of fact, if you happen to be feeling bad toward me, if you happen to be having difficulties with me, you will be calling someone else that'll come and tell you, yeah, I have the same problem. They're both peddlers. Peddler obviously comes from Canaanite, means a person who peddles. Now, that doesn't take a genius to figure that out. It also means one who peddles or carries small articles from one place to the other and offers them for sale, swap, or barter. Peddler means one who spends time on trifles, very petty. I'll give you an example of petty Canaanites. You have things to deal that are basic to your marriage, basic problems with diet and mental dispositions and financial difficulties and spiritual things that you need to work out. And you spend your time worrying who signed up for what and who didn't. That's petty. That's spending time on trifles. Wondering why someone didn't say or said something, when in reality it's what you're saying or not saying that's ruining your life. But now we're told what Canaanites peddle. They're peddlers, and they're petty, and they deal in trifles. Peddler means one who circulates gossip. This is the individual that can't wait to get somewhere to tell somebody something that somebody else said. And let me tell you about Canaanites. First of all, they're cowards from the word go. They will never tell you what they said about you. They'll never tell you what they said about anything. But they can hardly wait to tell you what somebody else said, or their rendition about what somebody else said. So they love to circulate gossip. Canaanite means one who's humiliated and wants to humiliate. It means one who wants to hurt the pride or dignity of someone by causing them to be or seem to be foolish or contemptible or degrade them. In other words, to try to make someone feel like they're second class, someone doesn't like you as much as they like me. Something's wrong with you. They love to circulate that kind of gossip. Canaanite means one who degrades. Degrade means to grade down. D means down, and gratis means grade. So Canaanite or degrade means to grade down. It means to lower in rank or status, as in punishing. Now, why is it that you love to degrade? Because that's the way you were raised. You were never taught with rational, logical thinking. You were not even taught by example. Every time you did something, the punishment was such that degraded you. They love to punish you in front of people and make jokes about you and make fun of you. And incidentally, I listened to some of you, how you like to make jokes and degrade people around you, bring people down in the sight of everyone else. That's a Canaanite. If you have no other way to make us laugh, learn, just say, why did the chicken cross the road? And I'll say, why? And you'll say, to get on the other side, and I'll fake the biggest laugh that I'm capable of. you're that hard up to be the life of the party, give me the chicken cross the road joke. I'll laugh. I'd rather hear that than to hear somebody degraded.
Amen.
I'd rather hear that.
Amen.
Neither one of them's funny, but I'll laugh at one of them. I'll laugh at your chicken joke there, turkey. So you see, degrade means to lower in rank and status. And by the way, I do not appreciate it when we're out socializing and I hear people making fun of other people. First of all, that's not Christian. Secondarily, if you're that hard up to be the center of attention, give us a chicken joke. Don't make fun of people. That's not right. That's a Canaanite. And I'm not telling you that to criticize you for degrading people. I'm telling you that so that you can understand how horribly degraded you are and how what a low opinion you have of yourself and how funny you think you are because you were told that as a child and everybody always made fun of you, and that's your defense mechanism. So don't get defensive on me now. Don't think that I'm trying to degrade or hurt you. I'm trying to enlighten you. I'm trying to tell you that you are degrading people because you were degraded. And I keep trying to promote you and you won't let me. You were lowered in rank and status in punishing. You never were taught the right way. You were taught some right things, but you weren't taught the right way. You were taught in a humiliating kind of way. Don't ever use names against your children. You stupid. You dummy. Never, never, never. Because what you're going to do is you're making a Canaanite. You're just creating one right then and there because that's the way they're going to get along with everyone around them. They have to degrade. Degrade also means to lower or corrupt in quality. See, the individual that degrades people around them because they are degraded. See, they were degraded in the past, humiliated, corrupted, if you will. Now they degrade people around them. Now comes the third part, a desire to degrade themselves and corrupt themselves now. And the only way that you can do that is to take something in that corrupts. Nicotine, alcohol, stimulants, sugar, something wrong that corrupts your system. And the reason, again, is because you chose to degrade someone as a cover-up for the fact that you feel degraded and corrupt, and now you have this desire to make all of this come true, and you set up these cravings for things that are bad for you, and that's why you do them. And it had nothing to do with weakness of character. Had nothing to do with the weakness of the teaching. What it is you are a Canaanite. You are being led by Canaanites. And you become a Canaanite. Canaanite also means to bring self or someone else into dishonor or contempt. You see, that's the reason that you're always having such difficult times with people around you that always end up in such negative name-calling and negative thoughts about one another because you're in dishonor and contempt and you want everyone around you to be the same way. And you don't even have to know them. Just be in a group and this subconsciously you're thinking people are laughing at me. I know I'm the ugliest. I know this. I know it must be me. So the minute you see someone outside of the group or even in the group who does something that you can now focus all the attention on them because of what they did or didn't do, you do that and then you feel this relief. Like all of a sudden, everybody's looking the other way. I have a hot news flash for you. We never were thinking about you. You'd be amazed how many days go by that don't revolve around you. You'd be amazed how much none of us care what you do. It's your business. See, this all goes on in your pointed little head. Canaanite also means a merchant. Merchant means a person who trades, swaps, or barters for profit. And you know these Canaanites, they come and tell you all of their hard luck story. They tell you a little bit, now they expect you to tell them a lot. They come and tell you a little bit of dirt, but you see, they're merchants, they're peddlers, they got to make a profit. So they have to get more from you than they gave you, or there's no profit in it. So this is the individual who will come and tell you a hard luck story. And it almost always will be about someone that you're having difficulty with yourself. Because then you can be, two of you can be agreed as touching something. So you two find each other like finding a needle in a haystack. A Canaanite always finds a Canaanite. A hard luck story looking for a place where they can get sympathy. And then having listened to this hard luck story, you tell them your hard luck story. And I know that you think that gives you some degree of comfort. I know especially women. When you first started growing up physically and finally start getting out of her web so that you could go out and have friends, she couldn't follow you to school. You had times where she wasn't there. You were doing things she wasn't aware of. So the minute you got home from school or from the date, she had to know all about it. And of course, she had to tell you all of her hard luck stories when she was going through what you're going through now. So you see, there was always kind of a let's get together and cry on each other's shoulder kind of thing. And always she had a desire to tell you what a rotten no good your dad was. If you think back, those stories about your rotten no good dad started about the time that you started demonstrating an interest in those of the opposite sex. Think about it a little bit. Isn't it amazing your dad was not the dirty, rotten, and he may have been, but she had no desire to give you that story until she realized you're starting to develop an interest in these horrible things called men. Then all of a sudden she started giving you all of her horrible war stories about how horrible these men were. And then, of course, that gave you the desire to tell her the horrible stories about your experiences you were having because he pulled your braids or it's going to get worse, believe me. That's just the tip of the iceberg. And isn't it amazing with the men? She didn't really care or tell you much about your dad until you start realizing there was a difference between you and your sister. And you start realizing that the rest of your friends were going places with dad, not with mom. And when they showed up to the ball game, it was with dad. And when they went out to play, it was with dad. And that came very early for me because I had no dad. About that time, when you start longing for male authority, male leadership and male companionship, she'll start telling you how horrible men are, starting, of course, with her husband, going back on both sides of her family to her great, 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 all the way back to Adam. This is the most insidious one of all because you lapped it up like a starving dog. What you didn't know is you wouldn't be a boy forever. You made these judgments about men. And then one day, you became one, physically at least. And now you suffered your own judgment. Isn't it any wonder that you start punishing yourself with alcohol, drugs, and whatever else you did to yourself and are doing to yourself? You've made a wrong judgment about men. Well, some of you will say, well, yeah, but my dad didn't. And no one did. And I'll say, true. But how many years have you been here where a man has done everything he can to try to help you, and you're still not in the areas that you're not? So you see, you have become hooked on being a Canaanite. But Canaanite by itself isn't going to hurt you. It doesn't work without a Hittite. And I think we're only going to cover these two to begin with, because this is a very involved study that we have to make. And you have to understand, this isn't something we can pass over lightly. You really have to understand how you got into being a Canaanite, how you attract Canaanites, and once two Canaanites get together, they have a Hittite. Now you've got your hard luck story. Someone came into, and isn't it amazing? Canaanites come in all shapes, sizes, and forms. A Canaanite can be a TV program where you see something that you relate to, something that depresses you. You know that a calendar can be a Canaanite? Amen. You can look at certain times of the season, and don't tell me that you don't get either depressed during Christmas time or depressed during Christmas time. It's amazing how that works. Some of you will get depressed because Christmas was such a happy time when you were growing up. And you think about that, and then you look at your time now and you say, oh, it's not like that anymore. So the happy time you had before is making you worse now. But some of you had some very unhappy Christmas times. And even though your Christmas time now is fine, the Christmas time you had before, you're still relating to it. You're still sympathizing with it, so it's ruining your present Christmas time. Because you see, a Canaanite needs a Hittite, because a Hittite will sympathize and identify with whatever the Canaanite brings. Now let me show you how that works. Hittite, if you remember, means terror. But I particularly didn't give you the whole definition because it didn't fit that message as it does this one. Hittite means to break down or be broken down by confusion and fear. Hittite basically means to be broken down by confusion and fear. Now understand this. Some Canaanite came and told you their hard luck story that pretty well matched your own. And you then have your own hard luck story, your own set of guilt, your own fear, your own problem. But then you sympathize with this Canaanite who had, let's say, 10 pounds of problems, 10 pounds of pressure. And you had 10 pounds of your own, which was tough enough. Now this Canaanite comes and gives you their hard luck story. You sympathize with that. You identify with that. And now you feel twice as bad. Don't tell me that you don't get mad when someone comes and tells you how a man treated your friend, when you hate men too. You get doubly upset. You've been broken down by confusion. You know what confusion means? Comes from two words. Com, C-O-M, which means together, and fundid, which means to pour. So confusion means to pour two things together. The hard luck story of the person that came to gossip, which relates in some fashion to the problem that you have, now you're confused. You've poured them together. Now you don't know the difference. You don't know where you end and their problem begins. That's why a person in this difficulty can go to a movie and they show some individual that has a particular set of problems that goes home and solves the problem by beating the hell out of his wife and kids. Then this individual is now broken down by confusion, sympathizes and identifies with that movie, then it's poured together, he becomes
I'm so confused, Vinny. You know that. And then they're poured together and you can't make the distinction between the two and you leave feeling twice as bad about your problem as you did when you went to the movie. So you go home and blow the whole family away. It's in all the newspapers. And they say, well, it doesn't. Movies don't affect you. Reading those things don't. No, watching TV programs, everybody knows the difference. No, they don't. And you see, even a psychologist will tell you, you identified with a certain thing and you related to it. They don't understand how it happens. You pour it together. You're now broken down by confusion. You can't distinguish where that person's problem led off and yours began. They've poured together. You're confused now. That's why I've always told you, don't cry on each other's shoulders. You can't do anything for each other. All you will do is get broken down by confusion. The two problems will pour together. You are not called to deal with that. That is my job. And understand this, whenever you tell me your hard luck story, when have I ever sympathized with it? I've always said, no, that's not the way it has to be. No, this is what God said. No, this is the way it is. But you like to talk together with people that say, yeah, boy, know what you mean. Yeah, you're right. You think that's bad. You think you got a scar. Wait, just wait until I pull my, I'll show you one that starts at my ankle and goes all the way around my, see, everybody's topping each other, but what you're doing is you're pouring the two problems together. Then you compound the problem because there's a little thing called a click. And you start finding yourself peddling this hard luck story everywhere. Now understand, you're a peddler and you're out for profit. So when you peddle your story to other than a man called of God to deal with it, you peddle your story. You go right ahead. But understand, you're going to give them so much of a hard luck story, you got to get a profit, peddler. They're going to give you a hard luck story just a little bit worse than yours. They always are. And then that's when the Hittite comes in. When the two Canaanites start pouring these problems on one another, and Hittite means to be broken down by confusion. Pour the two together so that you can't identify where you began and they left off. Now, here's what happens to Christians. See, before when you were an unbeliever, you walked away with your own problem and their problem, but you really thought it was still just your problem. You just felt worse now. And you walked away and you try to settle your own problem yourself, but you felt worse because you really brought theirs with you. But now as a Christian, you get another zinger thrown at you. You take their problem, identify and sympathize with it, which doubles yours, and you try to do something about that and can't. But as a Christian, then Satan says, shouldn't you be helping brother such and such with their problem? So now you have, instead of doubled, you have taken their problem, compounded it with your problem, poured it together, which means now you're off to the races, but you're also trying to take responsibility for their problem. So now you've tripled it, and you have no way of handling even the first part, your own, which is now just a third of your problem. You started out with 100% of your problem. Now your problem, your own personal problem, is only 33 1/3% of the overall problem. And you can't do anything about it, not on your best day. Why do you think people kill themselves? Why do you think you've tried to find an answer in drugs? Because you didn't even know how to handle your own problem, much less the problem of these people that are coming that you're identifying with. That now you think, because it's poured together, you think your problem has become worse, and in reality, it's no worse than it was to begin with. Can you see how slick Satan is? I would be willing to bet, just to, if I were a gambling person, there's no doctor on the face of this earth knows this. But I'd also be willing to bet something else. If I were to write this down in a quote journal, and put a lot of letters after my name and submit it to one of those, they would say, my God in heaven, Dr. Galvez, who is this eminent doc? Just because I have letters beside my name. See, having the letters beside my name would have them look at what I'm saying, and they'll say, wow, that's, how does this guy know this? But you see, in the absence of letters after my name, they'll say, this is stupid. Just like you do. That's right. You see, what's happened here is this Hittite mentality, which always follows the Canaanite. Now, you cannot identify and separate your problem and the problem of everybody you're gossiping with and everybody that gossips with you. And then once you can't get anybody else to gossip and you run the whole gamut, then there's always the TV set. You have such a desire to turn it on and listen to see whose husband is doing what to who and who isn't doing what to who, what, how, where, when. And then don't lie. You sit there and you just say that, no good, just gonna kill him. You know, I went to a movie the other night. And I saw a human, in the movie now, an individual that was clearly a very bad man. Very bad man. And this woman was pointing a gun at him and said, called up the police and said, I've just killed an intruder. She hadn't killed him yet. She was getting ready to shoot him. And people in the audience start clapping. And, yay, yes, shoot the SOB. I heard someone, shoot the son of a bitch. Shoot the no good. I thought, wow. Sure wouldn't want to go home with those people. There's some bad things going on in that house. I mean, there was some real identity going on. There was some real identification going on. You see, they'd gotten to the point where they couldn't distinguish. The Hittite had kind of poured it together. And then I watched people around me. See, you think when I go to those things and I don't deal with what's up there, I know what's happening around me. I watch people, and this woman was walking into the room, and he was hiding somewhere, but we didn't know where he was, and we knew he had a gun, and he was going to shoot her, and just about the time she was going to reach for the door, people would look down. It's just a film. It's like they were there, and they'd start looking around, like, I don't know, and start talking to each other. And I thought, boy, this is some classic identification going on. Man, there's Hittites all over this place here. And you could feel the tension in people. Oh, no. And then somebody said, look out, don't go behind the door. Don't open that. Call the police, stupid. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, wow, Lord. That used to be me. And people were kind of like, don't do it. And don't lie, you go to movies and you do the same thing. The Hittites got you. It's been poured together. You're confused. You've lost sight of the fact that you're sitting in a perfectly safe place. And you only paid $2.99 to get in, by the way. El Cheapo. You wouldn't even go when it was a first run. And then you want to be Mr. Big Shot and you invite people, say, I'm going to take you to the movie. Mr. Big Bucks, Daddy Warbucks, say, I'm taking you to the movie, yes. Oh, that's on me. We're going together. Where we're going? We're going where it costs 28 cents for all of us. See, but I don't lose sight of that fact. I'm saying, hey, you know, it's the same movie. It's going to shoot her. She's going to shoot him the same for $2.99 as she does for $6.75. So, I mean, what do I care? See, it doesn't get poured together there, you know? There's no confusion. Confusion means to mix it all up by throwing it together indiscriminately. You really believe that someone else is ruining your life. See, you clearly are in a Hittite mentality. When you honest to God believe that someone can say something that's going to change your life, going to make you feel worse. If that were true, if someone saying something negative to you without your approval could make something negative out of you, then it would follow logically that someone saying something positive to you could make something positive happen in your life without your approval. I've been trying that ever since I've known you. And it doesn't matter what I say that's positive to you. Without your approval, it doesn't happen. Yet you're not smart enough to see. And you don't want to believe that someone saying something negative to you equally has no effect unless you become a Hittite, get broken down by confusion, and let it all pour together. And that's stupid enough, O Hittite. But there's some of you that are so damn dumb yet that it doesn't even take $2.99 and a movie on a widescreen. It just takes a memory of something that happened 20 years ago in a galaxy far, far away and a time long, long ago. And that Hittite mentality lets you believe that that place far, far away, that time long, long ago, is now poured together with your present. You can't separate the two. And you start having the reactions to people in the present that have nothing to do with what they're doing. You're actually reacting to the past. Classic Hittite mentality. But understand what it took. It took for you to accept a Canaanite. It took for you to be a Canaanite. Someone came and degraded, and then you started degrading. You started exchanging hard luck stories with someone that couldn't do a thing about it because they had their own hard luck story. And the only place you've ever changed, and don't lie, and it isn't because it's me as an individual. It's because I happen to be the only one that's had that role in your life. Not that I'm the only one that could have it. I'm just the only one that's had it in your life so far, that particular role. And that is an individual who will listen to, I don't care what you did. I don't care how often you did it. Will never sympathize with you and will never tell you you're all right because she's worse or they're worse or I've done worse myself. Will tell you, no. This is what the Lord said. He loves you anyway. This is what we need to do. He will not sympathize with that thing. And that's the only way you've ever had any help. Why do you shy away from that? Well, because you're looking for to mix you up. Mix you up with their problem. Mix you up with their circumstance. Mix your circumstance with their circumstance. And then if you're really lucky, you'll end up in a bar somewhere where there's a whole room full of them. And little by little, everybody finds each other. And by the time you leave that place, you don't even want to live. You'd rather just be unconscious. You'd rather pass out. That's the only relief there is for it. I know I've been there. I thought I was going to have a good time. I came out worse, feeling worse, because all I heard was hard luck stories. Hittite or confusion means to cause to lose self-possession. Confusion, Hittite, means to cause to lose self-possession. Now, how does that happen? How do you get possessed by other people? You say, Christians cannot be possessed. Oh, yes, they can. Oh, yes, they can. Now, they cannot be possessed against their will. But every time you identify with someone else's problem, you are possessed. I saw women screaming in a movie. They paid $2.99. Or maybe somebody paid it for them, I don't know. The woman in the movie that was doing the screaming probably made $15 or $20 million to scream. You paid to scream. You're actually going through the trauma. And if you happen to be enough of a Canaanite, it stirred something up in the dark recesses of your subconscious. Sometime you were locked up in a dark place. Sometime you were in... See, why? You know it's a movie. You know it's a screen. You know that's all make-believe. The guy didn't die. I saw him on Merv Griffin. I saw him on Arsenio. He was laughing. He was fine. He didn't die. Well, why do people, why do we identify? What is this magical power? Are they such good actors and actresses? No. Is the movie that good? No. Well, what's so terrifying about the movie? Nothing. Well, what is the terror? It comes from your own subconscious, unresolved terror. Those feelings you have are real. But they have nothing to do with the screen. That anger is real. But it has nothing to do with the gossiper that came and told you. That's that unresolved conflict, that unforgiven sin that I've told you is there and you keep telling me it isn't. Then how come you can't go to places like that and hear things like that without feeling that terror when in reality, consciously, you know it? It's just a movie. And yet you feel it. Where is the feeling? External? It's internal. Well, now, if at the conscious level you know it's a movie, then what part of your mind is causing your body to have those terror reactions, even to the point that you want to look away thinking it's real? Well, then there must be something subconscious. There must be a part of your mind in the subconscious where things are you haven't dealt with and you're not even aware of. And you say, well, how could that be? Well, I'll tell you how it is. When you identify with those things on the screen because they're telling you it's worse, and then you take yours and you identify it, it gives you a feeling of absolute terror. You identify with it. You have that unresolved conflict. You have that same problem. Now, why does it affect you there? Because you came to church, you came to counseling, and I told you the same thing. I said, you have that problem. And how did you respond? You responded in pride. You went to sleep. You start thinking about other things. Why? Because that thing in you and what I was saying were not compatible. It was not sympathizing. So you have to start thinking about other things. That's about the time you say, man, I'm getting tired. And your mind starts to say, man, Buns, tell him, do something. Do something. Make him. We can't deal with this. This isn't a Canaanite. This is the word of the living God. This is one of the tribe of, this is one of the tribe of Israel. This is one who bears the Ark of the Covenant. Get his mind off of this. Put it somewhere else. We can't deal with it. We have to wait till we find a Canaanite, somebody that will sympathize with us, someone who will identify with us. So then you leave here in your smug pride, thinking you've got it made. You know what you're doing. And I don't know what I'm doing. And when I say these things, they don't apply to you. But then you go home and your wife says something and you identify with it and you're off to the races fighting each other. Or you go to a movie and you identify with that. Or somebody at work says something and you get upset. The least little bit of gossip and you're off to the races. Your child does something, you get upset. What is that telling you? That's telling you there's a Canaanite and a Canaanite and now there's a Hittite. We poured them together. Why? Because you wouldn't listen when the brother told you at church. Then that thing in you said, let's think about something else. Let's turn our mind to something else. We do not want to deal with anything that is not compatible with it, something that does not sympathize and identify. So now you have mass confusion. Confusion or Hittite means to fail to distinguish between two things. It means to mistake the identity of something. So you see, you don't know the difference between your identity, the person on the screen, or the person that you're talking to, and the individual that did something to you way back when. It's all one mass confusion. So the only person you deal with is the one that's standing right in front of you. But if you happen to be watching a movie or watching TV by yourself, then you look, the only one in front of you is you. That's when you get so thoroughly disgusted with yourself. But think about this. Think clearly now. When you have your husband or your wife there, or your children, or even better yet, me, you get disgusted with me. You get upset at me, you get upset at whoever's in front of you. But if this happens when you don't, when you have an inanimate object in front of you, a TV set or a screen, you still need a human being to get mad at, so you get upset at yourself. You mistake the identity of the person, the Canaanite that's coming, and yourself. So the Canaanite brings their gossip, their pain, their anger, and you identify with it, you sympathize with it, and add it to your own pain and anger to the point that you can't tell the difference, so now you feel twice as bad as you did before. Can you see how devious and how diabolical that is? And can you see how it can all be stopped, but not at this level? Once the identification process starts, it's too late. You have to go way back to the Canaanite thing and see, I'm being led. What's going before me is a Canaanite. What's going before me is someone who wants to sympathize with what's wrong with me. Now, your first Canaanite was your mammy. Because everything that was wrong with you, she sympathized with you. Now think about it. As you went to school, who were your favorite teachers? The ones that sympathized with you. Who were your friends? The ones who sympathized with you. The ones who had the same problems. They were just as ugly as you. They were into the same things you were into. They enjoyed the same. See, Canaanites, they sympathized with you. They identified with you. So it doesn't matter what you did, and it doesn't matter how the rest of the world felt about it. You had people around you that liked the same thing, sympathized with the same thing. You could identify with them. Parents, it's too late. Once your kids get to school and they start sympathizing with people that are wearing purple streaks of hair over here and a point over here of green and something sticking out in the back over here, and then they cut designs in their scalp, and here's the newest trend, tattoos all over. Piercing. See, people say, oh, piercing your ears. What's the deal? Well, the Lord said we shouldn't mutilate ourselves. That's what the deal is. Oh, but it's just ears and it's decorative. You know what the new trend is? Pierce ears, pierce nostrils, pierce nipples, pierced genitals, and a pierced tongue. See those little sweethearts, and they ask them all, well, what's the first thing you pierced? How'd you get into it? My ears. That's the first thing they pierced. Ask any alcoholic, what's the first? I just had one drink the first time. Do you think the first time they drank, oh boy, I'm going to be an alcoholic before this is done. I'm going to be falling down, lose my job, have cirrhosis of the liver. Bring me another one. Let's get this going on. They all said, I'll pass on that. I'm just a social drinker. Yeah. Now they're piercing everything, mutilating themselves. Here's another trend. The groups, the gangs, they call them fraternities, take red hot branding irons. And now you have to be branded. And the scar tissue, and some of them were that thick. I saw it myself. What is it? Identification. Belonging to a group. Identifying with something. And the beat goes on and on and on and on and on. We're getting to the last days now. You don't even know what you're dealing with yet. See, you have to always know who you are. See, I can't afford to identify with you and what's wrong with you. I can't afford it. Look where I would be, because I get all of the worst of all of you. I have to know who I am. And let me tell you while I'm on the subject too, lest anyone should be hurt through misunderstanding. Unless there's absolutely no other way, I generally, as a rule on outings, do not put up anyone in my van. And I'll tell you why. All of you pretty much don't see each other except casually all week long, maybe all month. So when we get together, it's to fellowship and to be together and what have you. I don't need that. See, I need an outing too, but look at it from my point of view.
I see you every single day, talk to you every single day, and even on the outings, and I have no qualms about this, all day long, I sit in there and I counsel. No problem. But you see, when it's over, I want to be able to sit and rest. And when I get up in the morning, I want to have a little relaxation. But you and I both know, I've tried this before. There's been times that I've been trying to get to sleep, and someone's asking me something from the back bunk. I don't ask for a lot, but I do need a little time. Unless there's no other way, then I'll make the arrangements. But in the absence of that, I need to have a little time away. See, if not, I'll start identifying with you, and you're cuckoo. And understand this, and I'm not saying there's something inherently wrong with you, because understand this, you show each other the very best that you have. And you show me your worst, and that's the way it ought to be. But you see, I need a break from that. Even if it's just a few minutes where I can sit down by myself, and that's why sometimes I just get in the van, I just go park somewhere, because I need a break. See, I've got to keep clear that line of delineation so that I always know who I am. And I always know what I am in Christ and who I am in Christ, so that I don't mistake our identities. This confusion will cause you to lose self-possession. And people say, well, I have no way I can be possessed. Every time you lose your temper, you are possessed. Every time you get depressed, you are possessed. Every time you do something you said you didn't want to do, you were possessed during the time that you did it. A Hittite got a hold of you, and he snuck in through a Canaanite. I'm not through with Hittites. We're out of time. But you're going to find out Sunday, Hittites not only confuse you, they dismay you, they discourage you, and finally they break you. And we're only on the first two. And I'm not even done with Canaanites yet. And we still got Hivites and Perizzites and Gergesites and Amorites and Jebusites. And I suspect somewhere along the line, one of these dudes is going to be a parasite. I just have this feeling. I don't know. We'll see. But can you see now? Listen, if you listened at all, you're going to see this took a tremendous amount of revelation, a tremendous amount of insight, that how could a human being left by himself, I don't care, you could take and give me the most eminent psychologist, doctor, scientist, whoever you want, and give them this one scripture and just say, would you help me with psychological, with psychosis and neurosis and all of the psychotic tendencies that I'm heir to, and help me to understand why I do the things and my identity problems, and I'll give you all the data that's necessary. Sure. As they stroke their little beard. Show me the data. And you say, and Joshua said, hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Now, please, Doc, tell me what's wrong with me out of that. Don't lie. They could never do it in 1,000 years. Nobody could without the Holy Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, why would I even stop it? Look at that. Just a bunch of ites there. What would make me stop there and start studying it all and say, well, Hittites, and that's got to be, and I know it's going to, and then all of a sudden, not only does it relate to what we've already been studying, but it relates to where you're at right now. And out of that sentence, I knew that? No, I didn't know until after I studied it. I just opened up the book and it said, here, stop right here. I said, well, what? What here? There's nothing there. Who? What? There? What? Huh? I'm so confused. What do you mean? Just study it and shut up. And now here we are, over an hour, and we haven't even touched the first two. And we got a lot more to talk about here, self-possession, Canaanites and Hittites, and what makes you tick. And we got a long ways to go. What amazing revelation. Only God could do this. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, as he promised, could reveal such things unto sinful men, for sinful people. Nobody could do this. Absolutely nobody. And yet I would defy any of you. Take this tape to any doctor you want, any psychologist, and I defy them to punch holes in it. They won't even know what's... They'll say, well, yeah, we'll have to see. Yeah. They don't know. But we know. You've poured it together. You don't even know the difference between you and your husband. You don't know the fact that it isn't you. It's not your mother. It's not you. It's your mother that's having the problem with your dad. That isn't you. And that isn't your dad. That's your husband. But it's all been poured together. You're confused. You're a Hittite. You got messed over by a Canaanite. Stay away from them stupid programs on TV. Quit gossiping to one another. Quit crying in each other's beer. You can't help one another. Quit being Canaanites. If you don't, you're going to end up with Hittites. And when I get to the rest of the ites, somewhere along the line, you're going to say, whoa, I don't think I want to do that anymore. Hopefully, this is enough tonight. If not, there's a whole lot more where that came from. Understand this. God loves you too much to leave you to your own devices. Leaves you too much. And let me tell you something else. I suspect that in 99% of the churches on the face of this earth, they would have changed having had 1/100th of what you've enjoyed in the last few years. What is wrong? Doesn't matter what God shows us, no matter how sophisticated, no matter how factual, you just won't do it. What's wrong? Canaanite mentality. Running to each other with problems. Shut up. The advice your mommy gave you, which is probably the only right thing she ever told you, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything at all. That's good advice. And then come and give me all your garbage. I won't identify with it. I won't sympathize with it. But if you go to somebody else, they'll give you some of yours. They'll give you some of theirs. You're going to get confused, going to be poured together. You're going to become a Hittite. And when your husband walks in the door, all hell is going to break loose, and he's not even going to know. Poor guy doesn't even know why. He walks, he goes outside and checks the address out there. He must have walked in the wrong place. No, it couldn't be two women this ugly in the complex. I thought I was in the right place. Couldn't be two of them this mean. All right, I'll back off. Couldn't be two this mean. He goes out and checks the number. Oh, that's her, all right. And she's Hittite all over the place. I hope you learned something. I have. Well, and see, but I have an advantage over you. I know some of these other ites already. And you're being set up. So you say, yes, right, brother, that's a good message. That's good. Pretty soon you're going to hear the trap door. And then, you know, your little hat with your whip ain't going to help you. You ain't getting out of this one, Indiana. There's no way. Gotcha. Gotcha. You're not getting out of this one. Brother Dennis, would you close the service in prayer?